Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. Tensions across the border and at home in South Korea made headlines this week. As if the rumbling north and uncertainty in future relations with the next administration in Washington weren't enough to deal with, Seoul is also faced with serious internal issues. President Park Geun-hye's future is also unclear. Suspected of corruption and in the face of growing dissent, on a parliamentary front where the opposition parties are in the majority, and in the midst of street protests, she said she would resign, but wait for parliament to decide when. So she's more than likely to step down or could face an impeachment process. John Nilsson Wright is an expert on Northeast Asia with Chatham House. He explains why Park is on the precipice.
The initial pressure to get the president to resign is based on the story regarding her alleged corruption, providing financial support for her friend and confidant, Choi, who is alleged to have received somewhere in the region of $65 million from South Korean industrial conglomerates who may have been pressured by people in the Blue House, including potentially by the president, to donate to Ms. Choi's private foundation. If that's the case, then obviously there's a big problem of corruption to address. And linked to that is the question of how a private citizen, because of her proximity to the president, has had access not only to money, but also potentially to classified information, to have potentially played a role in vetting and approving members of the Blue House presidential team and perhaps even members of the South Korean government. All of that is in and of itself quite worrying. But this is, I think, one part of a broader trend in South Korean society where ordinary South Koreans are tired of the collusive relationship between senior politicians and the corporate sector. The problem for Ms. Park is that she has been seen as a politician and as a president who's been remote from the day-to-day business of politics, not good at engaging with the electorate, not willing, if you like, to play the political game of cultivating constituencies, whether it's in the National Assembly or in terms of the general public more widely. And of course, President Park is a complicated figure, the daughter of the former authoritarian leader of the country. She is seen by some people, particularly by her critics, as authoritarian by instinct, if you like. And this corruption scandal and the way she's responded to that has reinforced those criticisms and those concerns.
Lim Wol-san is the Korean Public Service and Transport Union's International Affairs Director. She says the protests will continue as peaceful candlelight marches for the time being.
Park Geun-hye, the president, has come out and said not that she will resign, but that she is willing to follow a timeline proposed by the National Assembly for shortening her term. At the same time, the opposition is pushing through impeachment process. The conservative ruling party has said that they see her step down in April and then a early election in June. And the reason that we are continuing our protests is because, first of all, the demands of the wide majority of the public, including workers, but many different groups within society, is for an immediate resignation, for her to take responsibility for the corruption charges and the other problems that are going on, for resignation of other politicians that are implicated in this scandal, and for penalties for the people who are responsible. And the Conservative Party and her timeline of sort of waiting until April and possibly having to go through a constitutional revision to shorten her term is clearly not in line with what the people are demanding. In fact, we see this as a move on the part of the Conservative Party to buy time, to keep her in power while they regroup, form a new party, and come up with a plan for them to stay in power through the next election. That's why, in fact, her announcement and the moves of the Conservative Party have created even more anger among the population.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. Lim details the reasons why more than 1.5 million people turned out last weekend in Seoul to call for President Park to quit, and says the Choi scandal could be far-reaching.
since the beginning of Park Geun-hye's term, and particularly since last year with the economic crisis hitting South Korea more, her government has been pushing what we call regressive labor reforms, are in a lot of ways similar to what the French government has been pushing, but it would create more precarity, lower wages, lengthen working time, and cut overtime pay throughout the economy, and then specifically in the public sector was to the policies involved pushing a discriminatory performance-related pay system on public institutions and a drive towards a profit model. It's part of a process of privatization, which is both about obviously worsening workers' conditions, but also has a debilitating impact on workers' ability to negotiate or to bargain over wages. And so, and one of the things that's come up in this scandal is that there's been a lot of talk about how the government had, along with this outside influence, Choi Soon-sil, who's an acquaintance of the president who has had a big hand in this corruption scandal. The claim is that they had forced large corporations to contribute a whole bunch of money to foundations that were in fact controlled by Park Geun-hye's friend Choi Soon-sil. And what has come up is that in fact those weren't just contributions, they're in fact bribes. So money that corporations have been paying to the government as a way to get it to drive forward these regressive labor reforms as a way to maintain profits in a time of economic crisis. So that, for labor, those are really big issues. And then there are many other social issues. One of them is Park Geun-hye's attempt to rewrite history textbooks and so to make a single government-written textbook to be used in schools. And the draft of this has just come out, and it's a complete rewriting of history in favor of, for example, her father, who was a dictator in South Korea in the 60s. There are also issues around militarization in the region and South Korea's relationship with neighboring countries such as Japan and North Korea, and of course the United States. And so under this administration, so there's been a drive towards less talks with North Korea and a closer military relationship with the U.S., if that's possible, but also with Japan, which has historical tensions with Korea. And these are all issues that have in Korean society for the last several years and are being taken up in the candlelight protests.
So what happens if Park goes? John Nilsson Wright.
I don't necessarily see this as the beginning of a sea change, the way politics is played out. We have seen in the past street politics as a source of political change in South Korea. It's not unusual. It happened in 1960 when the then-president Syngman Rhee, in the face of student protest, was forced to step down. We've seen, of course, in the period of dictatorship in the 70s and especially the 1980s, major street protests that have sometimes changed the calculations of presidents. So in a way, you could argue that what we're seeing at the moment is consistent with those past trends of people taking to the street to demonstrate their discontent with a particular political leader. I would expect if she does step down voluntarily, there will be an election and there will be a new president who will have to govern with the same institutions that have been there in place for many years. And those institutions will continue to give quite a lot of authority to the president. There may be pressure in the face of this scandal. There have already been discussions about potentially constitutional revision, which might open up the door to two-term presidencies or a shorter term for the president.
So is a wave of change about to wash over South Korean politics and society? Not quite, says John Nilsson Wright.
We're in a very fluid environment. Now, one of the challenges that South Korea faces is that it doesn't have political parties that have long histories and long and clearly defined sense of their own political identity. The left and the right are broad coalitions. Much of politics is shaped by personalities and often by local interests. So it's very hard to predict how politics would change in a post-President Park era. But one thing I think will remain important for whoever takes over is demonstrating that they take the views of public opinion very seriously and that they are able to bring the country together after this period of intense soul-searching and crisis. We shouldn't forget that as a candidate, Park Geun-hye claimed that she wanted to be the president for all Koreans, not to govern in a partisan way, to bring the left and the right together, to address the economic issues that matter to so many Koreans in the face of slowing economic growth and fewer opportunities for young Koreans to find jobs. Those sorts of concerns, I think, are going to remain. But those are big structural problems. And the ability of presidents to deliver progress that addresses those problems is actually very difficult. And therefore, I think there's still going to be a lot of expectations on the part of the electorate and limitations on what elected presidents and politicians in general can do to satisfy those concerns.
That brings us to the end of this week's Spotlight on Asia. Thanks to Limwol San and John Nilsson Wright for their contributions. And thank you for listening. From me, Roslyn Hyams, and until next time, goodbye.